Hi, this is Dan Sheridan bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday. We're talking about the nature of man in these recent programs, and yesterday we talked about what is the soul. We're going to continue talking about that today. Today we're going to focus on that there is a difference between soul and spirit. The soul and spirit are distinct. In a couple of these programs, we might not come to conclusions except to show you the distinctions before we come to conclusions. I mentioned yesterday there's so much confusion regarding the word soul in the English language that it's become very difficult for us to make distinctions that are necessary to make to come to the correct conclusion on the meaning of the word soul. And what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about the distinction between soul and spirit so we can have the facts in front of us so we can better interpret these things. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 we read this: "For the word of God is living and operative, keen above any two-edged sword, and penetrating up to the parting of soul and spirit." Soul and spirit are distinct things. They're different. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, we read the following: "Now may the God of peace himself be hallowing you wholly, and may your unimpaired spirit and soul and body be kept blameless in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful who is he who is calling you, who will also be doing it." Now this passage in 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 does not have to do with the relationship of the soul, spirit, and body. We talked about that in Genesis 2, 7, how that Yahweh Elohim formed the human of the soil from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the human became a living soul. We learn there that soul is the result of the union of the soil and the spirit. Now, this passage here in 1 Thessalonians 5 has to do with the preservation of the soul, the spirit, and the body to the presence of Christ. That's referring to the snatching away. And some have tried to use this passage to deny that the soul is the result of the union of breath and body. Some have tried to use this verse to teach that man is a trinity and all three of these elements survive at death. And this is exactly not the truth. This verse actually enforces is the truth that the soul is the result of the union of body and breath. The soul will be involved in the resurrection. That's the point in this verse, just as much as the spirit and soil from which the soul came from. In the resurrection, the soul will be in its heightened state. We will have the greatest sensations in the resurrection day, but the difference between now and then is in the resurrection, our spiritual bodies will be dominated by God's spirit, not by the soulish sensations. However, those sensations will be guided by God's spirit in the resurrection body. So it's going to be a joyous occasion when we are resurrected. Let's put it this way: it's going to feel awfully good. That has to do with sensations. Now, the soul and spirit aren't the same. In 1 Corinthians 15, all we have to do is see that by comparing Christ with Adam. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm turning there with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're looking at verse 45. Let's start there. 1 Corinthians 15:45. "If there is a soulish body," now we're talking about the bodies, "if there is a soulish body, there is a spiritual also." So we see soulish and spiritual are different here. "Thus it is written also, the first man Adam became a living soul." There's the first man, Adam. Living soul. "The last Adam, a vivifying," or a life-giving spirit. He's the one who gives life beyond the power of death. Permanent resurrection life. That's what it means when he talks about vivification there. So the first man, Adam, and the last Adam, Christ Jesus, show us that there's a distinction between soul and spirit. Adam became a living soul, and Christ a vivifying spirit. And also we pointed out there's a soulish body and a spiritual body. Also in 1 Corinthians 2, we see that distinction as well. We don't even have to leave 1 Corinthians to see that. We did see in Hebrews 4 there's a distinction between soul and spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, we read this: "Now the soulish man is not receiving those things which are of the Spirit of God, for they are stupidity to him, and he is not able to know them, seeing that they are spiritually examined. Now he who is spiritual Now he who is spiritual is indeed examining all. So we see there's a difference between the soulish man, a man who's dominated by his senses, and a spiritual man, the one who's dominated by God's Spirit and the things connected with that. Now we mentioned last time how translators have hidden this truth from us. The translators have concealed the fact that the soul has to do with sensations. Now I was taught that the soul is the place where we have the highest spiritual fellowship with God. You hear that? The highest spiritual fellowship with God. Well, that can't be. And I'll show you. Turn to James 3:15. Now I'm reading from the Concordant Version here. James 3:15. Yep, it's before Peter. James 3:15, we read this. This is not the wisdom coming down from above, but terrestrial, soulish, demonical. Listen to that. It is one who is dominated by the physical senses. Notice the King James translates as sensual, not soulish, or in other places, life or something like that. But the wisdom coming down from above is terrestrial, soulish, demonical. Who would have thought that soulish could be connected with demonical if it's the place of the highest spiritual communication with God? Now also look at Jude 19. Let's look at that passage here. Jude 19. We read this. These are those who isolate themselves, soulish, not having the Spirit. Now you see, there's got to be a distinction. There is a distinction between soul and spirit in Scripture. Now the soul is neutral. It can be used for bad or good. There's nothing wrong with our sensations. But in this world, in this evil eon in which we live, we shouldn't be dominated by the soulish sensations. It's God's Spirit that should dominate us, as it will in the coming resurrection. So I hope that clears some things up. We're just giving the facts in this program. Now I mentioned last time I was going to tell you a story about what happened when I was a pastor of a church, when I sat down in a Bible study and I tried to get everyone's definitions on what is the soul, and you would not believe how many different definitions they came up with. Nobody had the same one. And then we went to the book of Genesis and compared our definitions from the Word of God. You won't believe what happened and the reaction of the people when we compared our definitions to the Word of God. I know I said I was going to talk about that today, but we'll talk about that tomorrow. And we're going to talk about the soul in the book of Genesis. That's tomorrow. And this is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for listening. Remember this, the closer you draw near to God in the correctly cut Scriptures, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.